Well, here we are on March 26th of 2013, just on, no, did I say March 26th? Yeah, just on the other side of the solstice that occurred. What a beautiful time. Spring is beginning to show itself in so many ways. And what a perfect time to work with heart chakra, because in the opening of the spring and where the energies start to come alive again after this time of winter where we were reawakening and going deep within to clear and cleanse any of the old from the past year. Now the spring is here, and now we're able to begin to reawaken and reestablish new frequencies. And what a perfect place to do that in the heart chakra. So we'll be spending our time today. I hope you have your support page in front of you. There's a lot of things I want to do. Most likely we won't get to them all, but we'll see where Spirit takes us. There's a couple actual processes that I've been kind of inspired to go ahead and do this morning, and I hope we get to them. One is cord cutting process, and another is the grief process, because when we start to look at heart chakra, it's a beautiful, beautiful land. It is actually the center point between the upper and lower chakras in the body, the actual in-body chakras, the main ones. We have three below, then there's the heart, and then three above. In a sense, it is the meeting point for the heaven and the earth. And when we do the great Native American chant, the Wani Wachiolo Wakan Katanka, which we often do for root chakra, it really celebrates the fact that we, at the center point in the heart, are the collecting point of that energy. And where those energies meet, it's a beautiful process of expanding and opening the heart chakra. It seems that these days especially, the more the heart chakra is open, the less the debris has power over us, in a sense. In other words, it almost transmutes and transforms any of the energies, because the heart chakra and the power of love, as Huey Lewis would sing, is stronger than any of the repressed energies that we've held on. Gosh, I've never even had that thought. That's a great thought. So we're going to, it's almost like in these times especially, I remember when working with Sonia Choquette, she started when we were doing our work, we were getting the first edges of the heart chakra becoming way more important than the root chakra for foundation. It is as if in this time of Aquarius, what's happening is the heart chakra has taken the place of foundation. And by staying in the heart chakra, it creates the balance that we used to get from the root chakra connecting with the earth. Now the earth energy being brought up through the earth star chakra, which many of you have participated in these calls, comes up through the body and then into the heart chakra as through the soul star that comes down from the heavens and into the crown chakra, the energy moves and it meets at the heart chakra. So we're beginning to treat this heart chakra specifically as our foundation point. And when we start thinking of ourselves being grounded, as critical as our connection with earth is, we now begin to also include the heart chakra as that center place for us, where we begin to unify and collect and unify and then put into action the energies from heaven and earth, from the root and also from the crown. And it's a beautiful, beautiful way of looking at things and then calling upon that energy, because excuse me, love is the vibration that basically is the foundation of all form and all matter in this particular multiverse or the universe many times over. So it's necessary now to focus strictly on the energy of love, and when we do, anything that is of a lower vibration that is not in alignment with that has no power there. And so as energy, it dissipates and is transformed back to the frequency of wholeness that we carry. This is the power of these times, and I'm finding that so much can shift so quickly just by our change of focus. And the companion energies that are flowing in and have supported us through this last year so much, and specifically this time through the December 21st transition, has really kicked a lot of butts. It has really kicked so many people to move into arenas that they were really hesitant to go, or perhaps even unaware of. In other words, clearing out the debris of the old that has been impacting us through belief, through thought, through consciousness, and through action and patterns that we really felt were a part of who we are. Well, we're finding that's not the case, and many of the things that we used to do as patterns just aren't holding anymore. And I know that I've experienced some pretty significant shifts and abilities to do things very differently without really much effort. And I owe great satisfaction and gratitude to the cosmos and etheric energies and the beings who are aligned with my frequency, as well as, I'm saying, with your frequency, who are assisting us in this magnificent clearing. So having said all of that, we're going to spend most of our time today just really celebrating the reality of what this heart chakra is and the capacity to really bring us home to a higher frequency in a very, very loving space. Because in this place, we are then capable, as we clear the lower chakras and then open up the upper, to really sit in a place and stand in a place of really conscious, unconditional love, which means that we can allow life to go on around us with all the players, with all the people involved, with all the situations, and look at them with the clarity and compassion and acceptance that allows us to just celebrate all that is before us. In other words, we just don't get plugged in. And that is a gift of the cleansing of these times. And through the work of the heart chakra this morning, it is our intention that we clear out any debris and we affirm the reality and the truth of this particular chakra, and we open it to be a conduit of energy that flows through us and in a constant cleansing process as well as re-empowering and maintenance process. And so it is, and so it is. So, gosh, I'm excited. So I'm going to go ahead and use a particular bowl here just to get things going. This is the bowl that I picked up over in India when I traveled over there a couple years ago, and just going to set a tone with this. So as I do, get your feet to the earth, be connected with the earth, be aware of all your chakras, open up that left leg conduit that comes from the earth through the earth star, and bring that power up into your body and let it sweep through all of the chakras and cleanse, and then start running out the right leg down through the earth star again. Now, if you haven't participated in the earth star, just go with what I'm saying here, because we're activating and keeping a process going that is going 24/7. More on that in another call. So through the entire part of our conversation here, we're going to have this empowering and cleansing going on. And truthfully speaking, it's coming down from the cosmos as well. It's coming in through the crown. And that energy, that powerful high frequency, comes down through the crown and moves into the body, cleansing and clearing in the same manner as it does with the earth star chakra. So we are in the middle of a pretty massive energy colonic. That's basically what's going on here. So bring your focus to your heart as the center point of this whole process. With feet on the earth, with back straight and aware of the connection, being aware of your breathing as well as it comes into your center below your solar plexus and causes your belly to move outward, bringing in lots of chi and lots of oxygen to raise the vibration of your being. We set the intention of the clarity and the cleansing and the reawakening that will occur during these moments together. Rattle out this particular one from the Chumash Native Tribe here in California in the Central Coast, Santa Barbara up through Santa Cruz, and it is a couple abalone shells glued together with petroleum found in the peach. So it's a beautiful, beautiful, delicate, light sound for the heart chakra. Just feel this particular sound coming through the phone and coming over the waves and basically massaging and clearing out and lilting up and lifting up and cleansing that heart chakra to bring it back to its true frequency and its true color, allowing the greens, the pastel greens, the lavenders, the pinks of love to be present and to be shining, letting that energy come and be present in its fullness, so it is, and so it is. Deep gratitude to our Shumash brethren for that magnificent rattle. All right. So again, just go to your breath, because the heart chakra is impacting physically on the physical level. It impacts the breath, it impacts the lungs, it impacts the heart, it impacts the center of the chest area. We have a high heart that is actually a separate chakra that's up just between the throat chakra and the heart chakra, and this is in the land of the agape love. This is the love for humanity. It feels as if there's a blending now that's occurring through our personal chakra, our heart chakra, and the higher heart chakra. It's if, like L.A. and San Diego, they've grown so much, they've become one. So in a sense, I'm thinking that this heart chakra and the high heart chakra are beginning to unify and connect and build a bridge between them, so that essentially the love that we typically perceive as personal love is now becoming a larger love, which is the agape love and the connection for all humanity. And it's because of this that I think the whole concept of oneness is beginning to take seed, so much that even in Obama's acceptance speech, or he did speak on the evening of the not the inauguration, but when he won the election, he talked about oneness. And previously, this was a term that was bounced about and created great discomfort for many. In fact, in me, I didn't even know what it was talking about. Did that mean I had to give up pieces of who I am? Did that mean I would lose my sense of boundary and sense of self? Well, absolutely not. And the fear of those days and that sort of Piscean energy of analyzation and all that stuff that came through that male-dominated energy, we have now transcended very quickly into a land where we are open and receptive and realizing that expansion is nothing but empowerment, and the connection with one another just opens up doors, allowing us to keep our unique frequency, but allowing us to oscillate and move back and forth into the energy fields of one another in a very safe and conscious way that allows us to even begin to access in more powerful ways our true capacities and the bequeathment of our design, that actually the blockages are getting out of the way, so that we are now in a position where we are actually able to begin to live in the higher frequencies that we are designed to live, which then begins to open up the full expression and the expansion of the earth domain and the earth dimension here, so that we can begin to experience life in a greater and fuller and more living color connected way. So this oneness idea is just very exciting, and it's beginning to feel like oneness. It just feels like there's such a connection that's growing. It's much easier with nature, and it's much easier to go out into these frequencies and connect with the animal world and connect with the trees and the plants and the earth itself and the ocean and the air and sky. And soon it will follow that our connections with people will begin to happen, I believe, on the same level. And this is all coming from a heart chakra that not only is opening up to reveal who we are so that we can reclaim that, but to give us the higher frequency and the greater teachings, in a sense, that have been lying dormant, the realization of the interconnectedness of all things in a way that is not scary, that is nothing but empowering. So we affirm this to be so. And in that process, we're going to make a declaration after we've gone ahead and put a little cocoon of safety around it, just so our minds will be safe. At the top of the page, we often start this way, the Hung Vajrape. We're going to speak this Tibetan protection chant. And as we speak it, a cocoon of safety and light grows around us and protects us. In other words, it keeps our frequency intact. And anything of lower vibration is not allowed to enter into that sphere of energy, so that it keeps us in our place of presence, in our place of power, and our place of balance. Hung Vajrape, 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 Hung Vajrape. So it is, and so it is. Now I invite you to speak your true name. We've done this many times. This is a name you came to the planet with. Once again, in review, this is strictly when you speak it, it calls your essence back. It calls the truth of your being back to be fully present, as if all the cells remember the frequency of this name when it was first spoken upon incarnation. It is a name that carries the frequency of the I Am that is expressing this time in this incarnation as you. And when we speak it, everything for that point in time realigns and we call ourselves home. So when we speak it, we also open to our etheric guides and teachers who respond to that frequency, and we also beef up, if you will, the sphere around us of protection. So the more we claim our frequency, the more anything, the less anything of a lower vibration is allowed to enter that field. Not out of fear, but out of clarity, we speak these words and we speak this name. We're going to say that name four times. We're going to speak your true name, your first, your middle, your last, and we'll do it together on three. One, two, three. Mark Stanton Welch. Mark Stanton Welch. Mark Stanton Welch. Mark Stanton Welch. And so it is, and so it is. So let's make a claim right now. Let's go clearly to the bottom of the page and start off with the last affirmation on the page. And when we speak this, we know this to be true. We address ourselves, we address our systems, our organs, our being, and all our energy bodies, and especially our mind and our awareness and belief systems, to be open to and to allow this information to take seed, to remember who we are. We say, I am love. I am lovable. I give and receive love freely without hesitation and without restriction. I am completely open to experiencing the cleansing and healing power of love in all my energy bodies, in all my moments, and in all my relationships. In my balance and clarity, I choose unconditional love in all my interactions. I love fully the me that I am, and so it is, and so it is, and so it is. Now notice, these are not idle statements. When you speak them, and when you speak them with emotion, as if you believe them, then the cells respond, and then the body remembers, and then the mind does its transition, and the subconscious opens up and says, yes, this is the truth. And your little child inside says, I know this to be true. Thank you. All right, and so it is. So we go up now to the top of the page again, and there's a song, I Am Love, and this will reclaim and restate exactly the frequency of what we just claimed here. So I'm going to run through it. We're going to sing it together after I've gone through, unless you remember this or you know it, and we'll do it two times after I've done it one time through. I am love, and love flows to me. I am love, and love flows through me. I am love, and love flows from me. I am, and in all I do, I shall live love, and in all I speak, I shall give love, and in all I see, I shall breathe love. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Two more times. I am love, and love flows to me. I am love, and love flows through me. I am love, and love flows from me. I am, and in all I do, I shall live love. I shall give love, and in all I see, I shall breathe love. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. One more time. I am love, and love flows to me. I am love, and love flows through me. I am love, and love flows from me. I am, and
shall live love, and in all I speak I shall give love, and in all I see I shall breathe love. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
May this song infiltrate your consciousness all through the day, every time reminding you of the truth of your being. It doesn't take long to replace some of the errors in thinking that we've had through our familial situations, through our own karmic patterns, through our social upbringing, through the cultural impact. A lot of misinformation, quite honestly, has been fed us, not only through our own personal situations, but through, like I said, the culture and society, schools, etc. So the beauty of these times is that stuff is really, it's like we've been given the, I got the image of oh gosh, what is it? The Men in Black, where they had the little machine that when it went off, the little light, and when everybody forgot what it was. So it's almost like we're going to shoot that, just set that light off, and in that process, all the baggage is immediately forgotten, and we remember the truth of our being. May that be so in these moments. That would be sweet. So let's drip down a little bit now, actually, into the heart chakra. I'm going to extend an invitation. The heart chakra is interesting because it holds the history of our experience with the love vibration. Now, that's it has to do with situations, our relationships, and our own personal interaction with ourself and beliefs about ourself. Now, depending on the nature of your early years, your childhood, your experiences, what you personally have experienced, your perception and understanding and action on love is going to be influenced by that and has been. Now, I've already stated that a lot is shifting and a lot is clearing. These impacts of these events of our lives, for example, the abuse that I experienced as a little boy has been the gift that keeps giving. And as much as I have worked on it, I keep discovering there are certainly new pieces of it that keep showing themselves. All the while, I have grown beyond the direct influence and the impact of it in the ways that it used to be, and I am now capable of very different behaviors. What I'm doing in these recent days is actually viscerally remembering and letting my body clear out the actual experience on the very, very cellular level of the acts that were perpetrated upon me and that happened in the course of my childhood. What a journey this has been. And what's beautiful about it is that even though it involves the body and the body reliving and remembering and releasing these energies, my emotional self and mental self, because of the work that's been done, is just sort of a witness to this process. And then one who can celebrate the lightness of being on the other side of that, and then the subsequent experience of life out from underneath that pattern. What a beautiful thing it's been. And let me underscore, it isn't necessary in these times that everyone go out and do certain kinds of work, because what happens is that as you do your work, as I do mine, I shift and change my frequency so that as I am connecting with new people, what begins to happen is the work that I've done becomes the vehicle and the vibration that then invites people to lift to a new vibration. And what I'm saying here is it isn't necessary that you walk back through your own journey as much, because the work that I've done, for example, here, and with you guys on the phone right now, is impacting your vibration and lifting it to a degree that you don't have to go back and do the work. And yay, and I'm not just spouting this. This is my experience and what I'm discovering and why all these beautiful new healing modalities are coming out and why we are attracted to certain people to do our work. It's because the vibration that they carry is the very vehicle that will kick us into a higher frequency of vibration, leaving behind the old debris. And all we have to do, in a sense, is get out of the water and shake like a dog would do to just clear the physical presence of that stuff. So, boy, these are glorious times. So what I'm saying then is keep doing your work, because there will be people that are brought to your vibration because and want to stand in that light because of the work you've done. And they can achieve their healings in that place because of the things that you've done. So I express great gratitude to you for your journey and all that you've chosen to do. A lot of people have chosen to step away from their path and suffer and step away from their path and go unconscious. Obviously, you haven't done that. And that's a real act of courage and a real act of faith and a trust. And let's celebrate that right now. It's necessary to remember that. So in this spirit, we invite the heart to be fully and completely open, because the more open the heart is, the more receptive it is to its own frequency of the love vibration and its own expression of it as well. The truth in the woundings, let me underscore this, I wanted to say this, is that most of the woundings around love happen to do with our own perception of self and how we view ourselves. And the woundings of feeling unvaluable or unlovable or unloved are deep and insidious. And so, in a sense, the greatest work that we're doing right now is remembering just how lovable we are, just how beautiful we are, just how capable we are of being a beautiful vehicle of love for receiving and expressing. And in that spirit, we are inviting our own child self to be open to receiving that love that perhaps they didn't get from the external sources. It's an inside job now, and it's something that is happening very quick. We did it in the first song when we claimed I am love, and we'll do it now as we invite the heart to open. We say, heart, please open wide, free the love I am inside. Heart, please open, I am. Heart, please open wide, free the love I am inside. Heart, please open, I am, I am. Heart, please open wide, free the love I am inside. Heart, please open, I am, I am. Heart, please open wide, free the love I am inside. Heart, please open, I am, I am, I am, I am. And so it is, and so it is. So with this invitation, we realize our heart chakra has expanded to be revealing of that which is ready to release. And as we claim the clarity of that heart chakra, we allow that debris, that old emotion, that old feeling to move down the right leg out into the earth star chakra to be used as energy for the highest good of all involved. And we celebrate that opening and that clarity. And as we take a few breaths and move into this heart chakra center, we bring in the green light, the pastels of the green, the light, the delicate sensations that come with that. We fill it with a light, a bright white light. We bring in the beautiful frequencies of pink, the love frequency. We also bring in the violet just to cleanse and clarify and raise the vibration of that whole area. So it is a glow with light and color the more we bring attention to it. And that light and color burns away any of the frequencies that are no longer in alignment with the truth of our being. All right, so let's get some assistance going here. And then we'll go back into doing a little more release. We're going to move down to the invocation to Ascended Master Paul the Venetian. Now, the Ascended Masters are basically beings, and I say this each time I bring this up, that they are essentially beings who have had incarnations, and they have moved on their own spiritual journey to a point where they remember and or awaken or have quote-unquote ascended. Ascended is to really remember who we are and thus open up and claim all the capacities and all the gifts and all the skills that come with that knowing. And in the process of doing this, they have transcended the earth plane, and yet they stay close to it. Instead of moving on to another dimension of their own journey, they stay for assistance. And they become vehicles to support certain frequencies. Each of the ascended masters stand for or represent certain capacities and certain qualities. And when we call upon them, we bring those frequencies in. Now, there are supposedly seven rays of light that emanate from the galactic center of the known universe here, of the local universe, and so we are able to pull upon these frequencies that assist us in reclaiming a certain vibration to allow us to be fully present. Now, Ascended Master Paul the Venetian is aligned to the heart chakra, and he's aligned to the third ray, which basically is a combination of several colors. It's pink and yellow, and they're not necessarily the colors that we associate with the chakras. So I want to do this invocation, and sing it one time through, and then we'll sing it together. It doesn't take much to call these guys or these gals. So it goes, up on the third ray, putting ideas into play, Paul the Venetian, he rides. Yellow light kisses the mind with insistence, divinely inspired to take humans higher, to create the world of our dreams and manifest visions unseen. Teach patience and planning, give true understanding, to learn how to bring forth sweet heaven on earth, to bring us each night to the dawn, to dwell in the oneness of God. One more time. Up on the third ray, putting ideas into play, Paul the Venetian, he rides. Yellow light kisses the mind with insistence, divinely inspired to take human fire, create the world of our dreams, to manifest visions unseen. Teach patience and planning, give true understanding, to learn how to bring forth sweet heaven on earth, to bring us each night to the dawn, to dwell in the oneness of God. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. So we call that frequency forth to be fully present for us. And we extend gratitude to Paul the Venetian, that beautiful ascended master. So drop right down below it, and we'll call upon these two particular Elohim, angelic energies who are designed to basically bring that frequency that comes through the ascended master Paul the Venetian into human form. In other words, they are the go-betweens, the vehicle that brings us to us, brings that frequency to us. So we will acknowledge them and appreciate them and bring their energy in by singing this song together. Let me run through it one time. Hear, ascend aurora, Elohim of heart space, infuse me with compassion and love. Hear, ascend aurora, reunite the twin flame, help me live the what I'm made of. Such a sweet thing in everything, dwelling in this heart that I am. Omnipresence, the holy present, through the pink and yellow ray, always nurture me with divine love. Let's do it. We sing, hero and aurora, Elohim of heart space, infuse me with compassion and love. Heroes and aurora, reunite the twin flame, help me live what I'm made of. Such a sweet thing in everything, dwelling in this heart that I am. Omnipresence, the holy present, through the pink and yellow ray, always nurture me with divine love. Eros and aurora, Elohim of heart space, infuse me with compassion and love. And so it is, and we affirm that these processes are now in place through our invocation and our request, and they are doing their mighty work as we continue our time here this morning. All right, let's move back up. Let's actually go down to... Let's make another proclamation. Go to the proclamation here. Now, a proclamation is really a statement of truth that affirms in it, and basically once it's said, it's a done deal. So we're going to affirm this particular proclamation that comes from these beautiful books by a fellow named Rich Work, who is no longer on the planet, Proclamations of the Soul. I proclaim the essence of love to be my own and command that it resonate throughout my universe on all levels of consciousness, transmuting all interfering energies into the divine expression of creative love. And so it is. So let's say that together with a lot of emphasis. Take a breath. I proclaim the essence of love to be my own and command that it resonate throughout my universe on all levels of consciousness, transmuting all interfering energies into the divine expression of creative love. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. Woo-woo-woo. All powered up. All right. Let's go back in for a moment. And especially make the connection with our own child self. Now, if you'll just hold an awareness of that particular part of you, now, whether you have a vision of yourself as a little one, or whether you are just imagining that little one is there, or just have a sense, or just making it up, we want to address this little one with this particular song here from a fellow named Jerry Florence. Beautiful song. How could anyone ever tell you? So we are basically acknowledging the injustice that has been done to this little one by remembering and affirming the truth of that child first. So here we go. How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your love, it is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. Together now. How could anyone ever tell you that you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you that you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your love, it is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. One more time. How could anyone ever tell you that you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you that you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your love, it is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. Thank you, Jerry Florence, for that beautiful creation. Now, in the spirit of this song, the invitation here is that from this point forward, we never speak ill of that part of ourselves again. We never affirm any of the old beliefs. We never re-express any of the thoughts and beliefs and patterns that we believed about ourselves. At some point, we make a change. At some point, we draw a line in the sand and say no more. The affirmations that we use, the songs that we use here, begin to reprogram, reawaken our being. And by reprogramming, we're basically working subconscious to then become the conscious belief. It has to start in the deep zones. So it's necessary that we do that. So I invite you to take a bit of your consciousness now and place it on your shoulder so that you are always aware of when you start to basically diss yourself through your action, through your word, through your thoughts, and you replace those. It won't take long to replace those, even though it's been a lifetime or lifetimes of being put in place. This is the power of these times. I know this to be true. You call upon Paul the Venetian to help. You call upon Heros and Aurora to bring the frequencies to you that allow you to have the clarity and to clear out the debris. You use the things that we've used here as songs. You, whatever it takes, I invite you to make that kind of a commitment for yourself. There is no better time than this moment. Let's move down below. We're going to go ahead and actually move into a quick process here. I really want to just give you the explanation, and we'll get a taste of it. It may be something that in your own time you can follow it. Let's go down to this grief process, because the heart chakra has a tendency to hold on to sadness. It has a tendency to hold on to its perception of in response to woundings that occurred in our life. The holes in our soul as a result of what may have occurred in our childhood or before are such that we seek support. We seek someone who will be there, someone who will not abandon us. The tragedy, in a sense, of the dimension is that we are abandoned at the point of birth. We are abandoned even before birth, when we essentially incarnate into the womb, and we terminate, if you will, our knowing connection with the cosmos and with the Creator. We choose to separate from that in order to incarnate into this dimension, which is a beautiful dimension for learning and understanding and reawakening in a very clear and conscious way the truth of our being. But the cost of choosing to come in here is that we forget our source for a while, and the journey becomes a remembering journey. The other thing is that when we are in the womb and have this perfect environment, for the most part, where we are nurtured and our needs are taken care of and we are in a oneness environment, at birth we are separated from that, and that too is one of the great abandonments and one of the great losses in our life. And so often we begin to seek a reconnection of that kind of capacity, and we project it into relationships. And with that energy behind, it's very obvious that we can see that no human being can live up to being present for us like that. So it eventually comes to the realization that it's an inside job. And when we learn the practice of self-care and learn to take care of ourselves and nurture ourselves with that same unswerving love and attention, we give that to our own inner child self, if you will. Then we begin to find a land of unconditional love, because our own needs have been met by our own actions and our own beliefs and our own self-care. So this is the beauty of it. Now, what happens is that we in these projections upon others, we experience loss. And our culture is just smitten with the idea of loss. It's all about, you know, the tear cam that comes in the minute somebody has an emotion, and the camera zooms in to catch that little drop of water that comes off there, that precious water. And then we celebrate it, and then we also condemn it. Oh, they broke down. Oh, I couldn't hold and keep control of myself. All of these things. And then we put grief in little packages and put them in the closet, and it's crazy. We can go on and on. But you understand what I'm saying. And chances are we've had losses in our lives where we still hold grief. Now, very briefly, this is a process that I invite you to entertain and possibly even put into action. It really is very simple. And let me go through the steps. And we may not have time to actually move through. Well, I don't know. But let me give you an example of it. Basically, let's say that I have someone who was lost. Okay, I've got my mother. She died about 3 years ago. So what I would do in this is I would revisit the connection. I'd start to remember the essence of Alexia Betty Jane James. That was her maiden name. And I begin to recall what it was like being in her presence. Now, so often what happens in sadness and grief is we don't get an opportunity to express what we wanted to say to the person. And we don't get an opportunity to talk frankly and say frankly what our experience was with them. And we don't get an opportunity to actually consciously decide to create a separation with them, nor do we get the opportunity rarely to actually say the words goodbye. So this process incorporates all of that. So, for example, once I've reconnected with the and revisited the connection with my mother, then I will express verbally to her, until I run out of things to say, what I miss about her. So I would say, Mom, I really miss those times when you actually showed up for me. Those times when I remember you coming down when I was teaching and you would bring peanut butter sandwiches to me at lunchtime because I didn't remember to actually pack a lunch myself because I was playing music the night before. It was really precious that you showed up and brought those to me. I felt more nurtured in those moments than half the time I was when I was a boy. I really miss that. I really miss your listening to the music that I would write. I really miss listening to you at the piano when you would just hold down the sustain key or pedal and then you just play all the black notes. It was just haunting. And I remember those melodies and I remember those keys and those scales. And I remember that I put them in my own songs. So I go on and on with that. I go on and express verbally what I miss. And then, knowing full well that it certainly wasn't peaches with most people, peaches and cream all the time, I also express the things that I don't miss. Mom, I don't miss the manipulations that you did around having to be present for you. I don't miss your weakness around work and not taking responsibility. I don't miss how much you withheld love. I don't miss how difficult it was for you to be in relationship and the kind of men that you brought in who were abusive to you as well as to me. So I would go on and on with those until I run out of things to say. So if you understand what I'm doing, I'm taking the full gamut of that relationship and releasing it. I'm not pussyfooting around and having respect for the dead because that's not an issue here. To respect them is to speak honestly with them and to be clear with them. And what I'm doing is I'm clearing out the energetic debris of our interactions through all of our life and perhaps even lifetimes back. When all of that is done, I stand and I don't necessarily stand, but I give gratitude and I give thanks for the connection and the opportunity to be present with this being. So, Alexia, Mama, the fact that I chose you and incarnated into the world where you were my mother, whoa, what a journey. But, you know, in retrospect, I'm really, really grateful. I'm grateful for the gifts you gave. I'm grateful for the challenges. I'm grateful for the pain and what you taught me through your own choices. Wow, I got what I asked for. Thank you. And then I release the connection. Okay, I consciously, however I choose to do that, Mom, I let you go. I create a separation between us now, and I give you permission to now incarnate and go off and follow your path. You are not responsible for me anymore. It is not necessary that you continue to be a ghost in my life. It is unnecessary. So I set you free and choose to let you go. And then I actually say the word goodbye. Goodbye, Mom. Goodbye. And then I take my hand and across the heart, especially the heart, the solar plexus, the sacral chakra, and the root, I run that hand like a knife and use that Egyptian empowerment that cuts those Akka cords and the connecting cords and say, suck it up now, suck it up now, suck it up now, suck it up now. And then I pull in now in that new frequency my attention to my heart space and I fill it with what I want. All that she was unable to give me, unwilling to give me, all that I've always desired for myself, I pour into that space. And I feed it with the words and the messages and the intention or the color or just plain light. I put it in there to hold the space of the separation energies that have been released as a result of this process. And then I say, I had upstairs, let's see, bring attention to the heart space and fill it with love, pink light, green light, green. And then I turn and walk away. It's really important that you do that. It's really important that we actually get our cells and our bodies and our muscles to actually do something to signify and to represent and to put into motion our turning away from that. And really by walking away, what we've done is we've let go of that connection. And then we are free to work with the memory however much we want. And what it's done for me is allowed me to be present with that memory and that experience of Mom in ways that I couldn't had I not done this work. So obviously we all have unique experiences, and I would do this for everyone, every situation you've had grief. I would invite you to have such self-care for yourself and a willingness to show up for yourself that you would walk through this process. It is potent, it is powerful, and it does the job. Whew. So it is, and so it is, and so it is. And now we sing. Okay. Actually, we're just going to do one more mantra in the clearing process here. Let's go to the Om Sharavana Bhavaya Namaha. Basically, this is an invitation that will clear out emotional debris within the meridians and the cells and the tissues of the body. And it allows us to see the heart of any misunderstanding. This is really good in relationship, that when you've had some things go on, in fact, misunderstanding. God, I know families that are still not talking to one another after 20 years. You know, it's like, Jesus, get over it. But then how do you if you don't have any skills or any willingness to do anything different? Well, here's a vehicle that will allow you great assistance. I'm going to take a little tea. So we're going to use this particular mantra as a spoken mantra, and we're going to speak it 108 times. And in this process, sorry, I got all my necklaces all tied up with one another. They've become one. Oh, well, sorry. Okay, we're going to speak this 108 times. You're going to start off a little bit slow, and then we're going to go ahead and speed it way up so we can get through it in about 3 minutes. So what I'd like you to do is bring to an awareness anything that may be going on in your life right now that perhaps is misunderstanding, or this is just a generic invitation for any emotional debris to be released in the process of this mantra. These mantras work because they've been spoken for thousands of years with a clear intention. When we speak them, we bring forth all the energy of intention that was placed into them. They are potent. They do their work, and they show up for us. Om Sharavana Bhavaya Namaha. 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 Pick it up. Om Sharavana Bhavaya Namaha. 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 Pick it up. Om Sharavana Bhavaya Namaha. 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 Om Om Sharavana Bhavaya Namaha. 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 Boy. Sorry, I took a little adjusting. It was pouring stuff out. Woo. All right. If you connect with that mantra, use it 108 times. Ideally, you do it morning and night. You do in the process of helping yourself to clear out any emotional debris on a regular basis. If you find yourself in conflict or in a misunderstanding, it's really a good mantra to go ahead and use there. It will give you insight. It will help clear up vibrations without really going, wow, how did that happen? All right, so it's beautiful. And finally, let's go down to the affirmation on all levels in all dimensions. And we will speak this in terms of cleansing and clearing. I will briefly give you the cord-cutting process, and we'll end with the song Heartbeat. On all levels, in all dimensions, and in all my energy bodies, I now release the energetic residue of all past relationships that did not honor me. I now choose to freely give and receive love without hesitation. I proclaim my lovability and celebrate that I am a divine expression of love in all my moments. I bring only those beings and situations into my life who resonate in unconditional love, and so it is, and so it is, and so it is. Use these affirmations. Use these affirmations when you forget. Make up your own that are in alignment. Do so, and it will serve you, and it will serve to keep your mind on the prize, if you will, the truth of your being. Now, very quickly, this cord-cutting process here, sometimes you find that relationships especially don't go away. You keep rehashing and reworking them, and they keep showing up in your life, and it just keeps the same old result. What seems to be happening in these is that the Akka cords, which is these energy cords that exist between people, that when we connect with one another, we send out these cords. A lot of times it's to get energy. A lot of times it's to make connection. Sometimes the longer we've been somewhat with someone, the more intense those interweavings happen with those cords. And even though we go ahead and create separation, the cords are still pulling us back. So there's wisdom in choosing to actually follow the cords. So the way it works is this. Basically, we're going to negotiate in terms of these cords between these people. So what we're going to do is you can take your left hand especially and just run it slowly down your torso. And you can begin to feel and sense that where certain cords are attached, you can get the it's like, oh, yeah, okay, you got one, you got one. And it feels like a little mass, like a rope. And if you have to, just make it up. But what you do with this is you begin to follow it like a rope. And you just pull on it like a rope, hand over hand, and bring it towards you. And basically, you will come to the end of the rope. There will be a person or a situation there. Now, I just set the stage and said it's typically someone we've been in relationship. Sometimes the debris is beyond them. Sometimes it has to do with something else. Sometimes you'll get surprised at what's at the end of this cord. It's an inside process. So as you're pulling on the cord, you begin to just sort of pay attention to any images that come up, any thoughts, any sounds, any feelings, any sensations, and you make note of those. Eventually, you will reach an energy or a being or a person, or it may well be the person you were in relationship with. And then when you face them, basically we're negotiating for both sides to just basically drop the cord and let go. If it's someone who has passed, if it's some energy beyond this dimension, what's happening is that cord is feeding through time and space. It is not only limiting us and impacting us, but it's also causing them to be stuck and not be able to move on in their incarnations and their own evolution. So you negotiate and you say, hey, man, I don't need this anymore. I know you don't. And in fact, what's happening is it's completely keeping you from even evolving and moving beyond. It's time we let this go. And if there's agreement, and you'll know if there's agreement, you basically then count to three and then you just yank those cords out and send them to the light. It's a potent process. It seems like mumbo-jumbo in some ways, but boy, I've had some incredible experiences with it personally and in facilitating others to do it. I'm sorry I didn't give it its full due, and maybe in a future time we'll look at that. So just to bring closure here, oops, we already went over a couple minutes, so we won't have time to do the heartbeat song, but we'll go back to, we'll just do heartbeat real quick here. But I want to say before we go, please take good care of your heart. The more care you give it, the more process you open up that heart chakra, the more present you are in the world, and more that kind of energy will come to you. It becomes a magnetic force that brings light and love to your presence. We do not need to hold on to the debris. We've all been wounded. Okay, it's time for us, in a sense, quote unquote, to get over it. We get over it by releasing it. It doesn't mean that it's not precious to us. It doesn't mean that it's helped define us. Remember that your vibration needed all of these experiences to reach the perfect frequency with which it vibrates at this point. And that is the vehicle that brings light to others, and I invite you to keep holding on to that frequency. Please know that on April 16th, we'll be doing this again, and I'm going to do a complete chakra tune-up. We'll go through all of the chakras in that course of the time. It'll just be it'll be an interesting experience. We haven't done that yet. And also know that one thing you can do with heart chakra is to practice gratitude. I have a process on my website called Weekly Gratitude where you can subscribe, and for 52 weeks a year you get a new gratitude in it with suggestions of how to put it into practice. It's gone through 1 year and it's starting up a new cycle here. I invite you to participate in that if you would like. I'm also finishing an ebook on the first year of those weekly gratitudes that will be available soon, all 52 in there, if you just have to have them all right now. But the weekly practice is pretty potent. I invite you to look at that. And also, I do have the second chakra CD that's very close to being completed, so stay tuned on the website for that. I'm very, very happy that you chose to be here. I will have a link for you by tomorrow morning of the recording. I invite you to listen to both the morning and the evening session if you get a chance, because there are some differences that occur. Maybe tonight I'll spend a little more time with cord cutting so that people will get that, and then they can listen in the morning for the grief process. Please use these things. I'm grateful for your participation, and I'll stay online afterwards for any questions, and anything that I haven't done on here, I'll do it. But I'm going to end with the song, Heartbeat, angels all around me, open me up like the flower to the sunlight, a new way of being, a new way of seeing, higher. Higher heartbeat, angels all around me, open me up like a flower to the sunlight, a new way of being, a new way of seeing, higher. And so it is, and so it is. Please, one last thing, if you can think of anyone in your own life that would benefit from these processes, please invite them to be a part of the next one on April 16th, or to visit the website and get copies of the past ones. All right, many blessings. Enjoy your love-filled day and enjoy spring. It's a fabulous time to be here. All right, I'll stay on if you have any questions or comments. Okay. Then we are done here. Sweet blessings. Bye-bye.